Welcome to Central Bark, a podcast from Guide Dogs for the Blind. I'm Teresa Stern, and I'm your host. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Central Bark. Today, we are everything puppy raising. We're talking about raising a puppy and changing a life. So glad you were able to join us. And today, I have two amazing guests with me. We have Alex Gregory, who is a community field representative for Guide Dogs for the Blind. And we have Mary Clark, who's one of our amazing puppy raisers. So let's get started. Alex, tell us a little bit about your role as a community field representative for Guide Dogs for the Blind and a little bit about how you got there.
So I am a community field rep for Southern and Central Coast California. And like the 11 other CFRs, each of us are responsible for about 80 puppies in their development through socialization, you know, basic obedience and various training aspects before they come in for recall to hopefully become guides, breeders, and canine buddies. And then I'm also responsible for helping, you know, assist and support our thousands of puppy raising volunteers. So I might evaluate puppies and see how they're progressing, offer troubleshooting support for behavior challenges. In terms of how I got here, that's a really good question. I, you know, like many people who love animals, really wanted to be a vet for a long time. And I decided that I really preferred the behavior side of things, and training and working closely with people is kind of where my heart fell. And I really wanted to work for nonprofits and found Guide Dogs for the Blind, where it kind of culminated all of the things that I was really looking to do, working with adorable animals, working with incredible volunteers, teaching, and for an awesome mission. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
I was reading in your bio, and I didn't realize this about you, Alex, that you used to work with exotic animals. So were there any sort of similarities or like crazy differences between, you know, training one of our guide dog puppies and one of the exotic animals you've worked with in the past?
I have worked with a number of exotic species. I've worked with elephants, dolphins, sea lions, a variety of farm animals, reptiles, birds, all kinds of things. And they are very different than dogs. Dogs are incredible animals, right? We know that. That's why we work with them. They love people. They love to please. They love to train. Our dogs particularly love food, which is also helpful in training. And some of the other species that I've worked with, not so interested in, you know, working collaboratively with people, but they are really interesting in their own way and really intelligent species. And honestly, every animal I've worked with has been really cool and interesting and challenging experience for sure. Each animal's different.
Very cool. I just had to ask because that always intrigues me to see like sort of the background that some of our staff members have that I think just, you know, leads people to this career. And then you bring so much, you know, richness with you when you come. So that's excellent. And Mary, our amazing puppy raiser, I read that you have been raising puppies for Guide Dogs for the Blind for 10 years, and you're raising a little puppy right now named Cello. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
And is that a Labrador puppy or Golden Retriever?
She's a black Labrador puppy. She's about 4.5 months, and she's actually a puppy of another dog that I raised.
Oh, no way. She's like a legacy puppy. That is so cool. So how many puppies have you raised over the years?
She is my number 10. So I have had 10 puppies. Yes.
And what made you decide that you wanted to get into raising puppies?
Interesting. You know, I taught at Cerritos Community College, and my office was right down the hall from a Xerox machine. And a colleague of mine who was a geologist came in every night I taught with a guide dog puppy, and he was training a guide dog puppy, and I would stop and ask him questions. And I think that went on for a year or two until he finally said, "You've asked me enough questions. You have to come to one of our meetings." So I started going to meetings, and that was in 2010. And, you know, I think by that fall, I was raising a puppy that had come down to go to a charitable event. His name was Phil, and Betty White held him. He was a puppy in the pictures of Betty White oftentimes. So it was kind of his claim to fame. So anyways, it's kind of a fun.
So you've been with us for about 12 years, raised 10 puppies. So tell us a little bit just about the journey with a puppy so people kind of get an idea of how all that works for how long you have them and kind of what you work with them through.
Sure. We get them when they're somewhere between 8 and 10 weeks old. And Guide Dogs for the Blind has done an amazing job with these puppies even before they come to us. There's a Heroes Academy and they socialize in so many different ways. So when they come to us, they're just ready to learn. And we have lots of different games and activities that Guide Dogs for the Blind has helped us develop for teaching these little puppies and to watch these little puppies from the time they're 8 weeks old be so enthusiastic about learning. Just makes me want to cry because they're so much fun. And so anyways, we raise them and socialize them until they're somewhere between, maybe 15 and 17, 18 months old. And then that's when they return to campus for their formal training. And so they're with us for, somewhere between 12 and 15 months.
That's just so amazing. It really is. And I have to say, having had 4 of my own guide dogs, I can't say how much I appreciate all the work that the puppy raisers of my guide dogs have put in that first year of puppyhood to make them the sort of mature and responsible and loving dogs when I get them. So, Alex, you want to tell us a little bit about the development of the puppies and different ways, the sort of stages they go through as puppies, along their journey, kind of maybe some of the skills and things that they learn so that they can really succeed either as a guide dog or a canine buddy, or maybe in our breeding program?
So our volunteer puppy raisers take on the really dynamic and challenging task of teaching these puppies how to be really well behaved in the home, which is a really important thing, in becoming a guide, a breeder, or a canine buddy. We need good house behavior.
Right. I bet you're going to have a lot of parents writing in to say, can we send you our kids?
Honestly, sometimes puppies are easier to teach than people. So so they do house behavior training, basic obedience. So they'll teach the puppy how to sit, stand, come when called. They also do relieving on command. So one of the really incredible things that our puppies do is only on command do they relieve in a particular designated area. So they aren't relieving on walks. They aren't relieving in socialization experiences out in public. It's only in certain designated areas, which is really important for them as guide dogs. Obviously, we can't have a guide in harness, stopping to take a potty break. It's not something that we want. And I think one of the other really important things that our puppy raisers teach these dogs is socializing them out in public. So they learn how to behave in a public setting, anywhere from in a quiet classroom to a really busy mall. I know some of our raisers take the pups on public transportation or really big outings like downtown Disneyland. We take them all kinds of places to make sure that when they return to campus for formal training, they are best prepared as we can get them to be for guide work, breeding, or canine buddies.
Yeah, the work that you all, put into these puppies, it's really tremendous. But tell me about some other ways that Guide Dogs for the Blind really supports our puppy raising program.
I think Guide Dogs does an incredible job of supporting our volunteers throughout the puppy raising process, whether it be a challenging day or a good day, but they also really support our volunteers by supplying veterinary financial assistance. So they'll help cover the cost of vaccines, flea and heartworm preventative, emergency vet visits, spay and neuter costs. And they also provide a lot of the supplies needed when you're puppy raising. So like their puppy jacket, collars, leashes, things of that nature. And we have a lot of really lovely clubs that also support their raisers even further by supplying crates. Maybe they'll cover the cost of dog food or socialization outings where the whole club goes and takes the puppies. So there's a lot of opportunities there for financial support for someone who might be interested in puppy raising.
Now, I get this question all the time, and I'm not a puppy raiser, but people always ask this, and I'm sure, Mary, you've gotten this question before, but how hard is it, or how does it feel when it's time to, you know, bring that puppy you've put so much love and work into and bring them back to guide dogs for formal training? That's got to be kind of a lots of emotions going on there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It's bittersweet for sure. And I cry a lot, which means I probably won't even get through this without, you know, because I have one that is going to probably be going back in the next few months, and she's going to be a really hard one to lose. It is incredibly hard, and we do shed a lot of tears, but I shed as many tears when I tell the happy stories about the lives that these puppies change. So when I talk to people who have gotten them as a guide dog and the way that they have changed their lives, sometimes they go on. I have one of the pups I raised that became a medic alert dog for a type 1 diabetic. And she says, this dog gave me my life back again. I cry all over again. So, you know, it's people will ask all the time, how can you part with these pups? And I think, how can we not? They make such a difference.
So do you still keep in touch with some of the people who have your dogs, Mary?
Absolutely. I have been really fortunate, and most everybody who's been the recipient of one of the dogs that I have raised have elected to keep in touch. So it's extended family. My family just keeps growing and growing. So I have pups all over the place, and I get to hear about their escapades and their partners or whatever service they're providing. So it's been a really incredibly enriching experience.
Well, now this question is for either one of you, or for both of you, should you feel inclined. What sort of surprised you the most once you got to know guide dogs and really got involved, sort of having heard about it before and then actually being involved with it? Alex, can we start with you?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And I think going into it, I knew I'm going to work with really cute puppies, right? And how can that be a bad job? I don't know. But, you know, I think what really truly surprised me when I started working for Guide Dogs for the Blind was just how incredible our volunteers are. The amount of selfless, you know, love, time, commitment that they put into each and every puppy, even the volunteers who aren't a puppy raiser, our puppy club volunteers, our puppy club leaders, everyone has such an important role within puppy raising and developing these incredible dogs. And it's not easy, but it's a lot of fun. And I honestly have built relationships with people in this position. And, you know, I'm happy to call plenty of club leaders my friends. You know, they're just really lovely people. And, you know, it's warm and fuzzy, just like the puppies.
How about you, Mary?
That was one of the things that surprised me so much early on when I was puppy raising, is how much of the people around me got vested into the puppy I was raising. You know, like I knew I signed up for it and how hard it would be for me to give the puppy back, but I signed up for it. So that's my own fault. But then all of a sudden, my family, my friends, my colleagues, they were like, you're what? You have to give your puppy back? I mean, I had to have going away parties for the puppy. It's just interesting to me at how much, you know, outside also gets vested in these puppies.
That's a really poignant point in that it does. This, our mission at Guide Dogs for the Blind, it touches so many people, like you said, who even are just kind of maybe on the periphery a little bit, but I'm sure they were all rooting for, you know, your puppies to make it as guides, and sad they're leaving, but rooting for them and then excited to hear what happens. I just think that's what's really special about GDB. So Mary, we've talked a lot about guide dogs, your puppies that have grown up to be guide dogs. And then we've mentioned our Canine Buddy program. And I believe your puppy raising club has some canine buddies in your club. Can you talk a little bit about the Canine Buddy program and that relationship?
Sure, a little bit. We were about maybe 4 years ago, a family was recommended to our club to come and just check out how puppies are raised, and that they were considering getting a canine buddy for their daughter who is visually impaired. And so they started coming to our club. And the first time I met this family, the little girl, I think she was 7, she was hiding behind her mother's skirt. And, you know, they came and they met a new puppy and she barely would touch the puppy. Now, her sister really wanted this dog for her, her sister more than the little one. But anyways, they started coming to our group and about a year later or so, or maybe, I don't know how much time later, they actually were paired with a canine buddy. And to see the difference in the development of this child was just amazing. She, in a year's time, she would be introducing her canine buddy, saying it was her face, her best friend, that he kept her safe. She would come to meetings and pet other dogs. I mean, it was just an amazing relationship to see how that developed. So that was really, really fun. And so we've actually been lucky. We've had, Alex has placed, I think, two more other canine buddies in our area so that we have other families come. And the one family, the older daughter, finally talked her mom into raising one of the puppy for the blind. Yep. So a guide dog puppy for the blind. So they raised a puppy last year and they do lots of puppy sitting for us. And the other family offers their home for us to have meetings in their backyard. So it's really been a wonderful community of puppy raisers along with canine buddies, and just the symbiotic relationship that we all have with each other is just really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like, so these canine buddies actually are part of our dog population and they are matched with children who are visually impaired or blind as kind of a pet dog, but also to help with socialization and giving them some skills of daily living, you know, taking care of another animal, I think could just be really empowering. And it sounds like it was very empowering for the young lady you talked about, you know, that she really came out of her shell when she had, you know, this relationship with a canine buddy. That's just an amazing success story. Thank you. Alex, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, if somebody's listening who might be interested in getting involved in this program? Just, I would think listening to this would make people be really interested. So can you tell people how they might get involved?
Absolutely. I mean, we are always looking for more puppy raising volunteers. So, and we do have puppy raising in the 10 Western states. So there's a lot of opportunity to get involved with a puppy raising club. It kind of depends on what role a puppy volunteer is interested in participating in. And we have a lot of options, which is great. Yeah. So depending on what role you're interested in joining, you have choices. So we have puppy raisers. So those individuals who raise the puppies, and you can do that full-time, or you can co-raise with one or more other puppy raising families. You could also do puppy sitting. So let's say you're not able to take on the commitment of full-time puppy raising or co-raising, and you're willing to do a puppy sit here and there. We always need puppy sitters. So someone who's willing and able to take puppies randomly and or proof out behaviors, that's always really helpful too. Or we have puppy club volunteers also. So they don't necessarily take puppies home, but they might be responsible for helping create an outing for the puppy club, you know, a really great socialization experience for the puppies, or making contact with people who are interested in raising. So there's a lot of opportunities there. And you can definitely find more on our website. So if you go to www.guidedogs.com/puppy, that is how you can get to more info on the puppy raising program.
I mean, these puppy raisers, and how many of them do we have, Alex? We have a bunch across the Western states. That's like a couple thousand, right?
So in puppy raising, we have about 3,000 volunteers, and they might be responsible for puppy raising or puppy sitting or puppy club leaders. A lot of people are involved in getting these puppies ready for guide work or canine buddies or breeders.
You know, in a good year, there's no way we could do any of the things that we do at Guide Dogs for the Blind without these incredible volunteers. And I think the last 2 years have just shown us, you know, we say that puppies are angels, but these people are really just angels on earth. I think, you know, they're sort of angels with like a little dog bait bag on their waist, you know, with the cookies in them, because they're really heroes. And so, you know, thank you, Alex, for leading them through this. And thank you, Mary, as well, in your role as a volunteer and a volunteer leader in puppy raising and the 10 puppies that you've raised so far. I don't really just want to send heartfelt thanks from me, from all of Guide Dogs for the Blind and all of our clients. Thank you so much. For more information about Guide Dogs for the Blind, please visit guidedogs.com.